of this proposed helipad at a mansion. If a chopper comes near them, they'll be feather soup, locals say. This from Maya Ingoe. Aucklanders fear their suburb will become a sky highway. It's Anna Mowbray's place with her partner, Ali Williams. Of course, Anna's one of the co-founders of the toy company Zuru. They're squillionaires, and they're asking for their latest application for consent to land helicopters at their Westmere property to proceed without a public hearing. Of course, when I applied for my helicopter pad outside our place, there was also opposition, and so it just wasn't allowed to happen. Ngahi Weapanui, when he applied for his helicopter pad outside his joint in Wellington as well, the neighbours arced up, and so he had to drive to work instead. Ngahi Weapanui is with us. Te Tauriwhiri Te Reo Māori have launched a new speech contest, Waha Kōrero. Pāki Waha Kōrero. It's got a nice ring to it, Ngahi Wee.
Well, it does, and you know, and when I fly my toy helicopter out of the veranda of my house, you know, the neighbours don't complain as much as when I wanted to put a real one in there.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
but the Waha Kōrero competition, I think, is pretty exciting. I always wondered why the speech competition ended at school, and why there was no sort of you know, carrot there for adults to practice their oratory skills and stuff like that. So that's where the idea came from. And look, the biggest thing about it is that, you know, there's a $10,000 prize up for grabs, which is not being paid for by us, by the way. It's being paid for by a sponsor, by two sponsors, by Atta, who's a Māori social media digital company, and Fonterra. So not only do you get your milk from Fonterra, you'll get your prizes too if you finish in the top three. But it's really, you know, you have to be 18 and finished at school. So you can't come fresh from the Manu Kōrero and try and win the Waha Kōrero. You also have to be, you know, we've got registrations open at the moment. You've got until the end of the month to get your entry in. And when you do, you provide us with a two-minute video of you talking about who you are, where you're from, those types of things, so that we can get you through the first round. So what we want are the best speakers, and they'll go through to a next round, and then the people who get through that second round will then be given a Zoom link, and 20 minutes before they're due to link to us through Zoom, they will get their kaupapa, because that's what will happen in the competition. You get your kaupapa 20 minutes before you stand, and that's the amount of time you've got to sort everything out, and to be entertaining, to use the language creatively, but within the rules of the language, and to get people to think about things. But big emphasis on entertainment, but also, you know, not using the latest conspiracy theories of the web to pack out your kōrero. So we're pretty excited about it. There's been lots and lots of talk, and lots of discussion amongst the people that we know, with some pretty famous people, some well-known speakers looking to enter. So, yeah, it's all very exciting, bro.
Who are those pretty famous and well-known speakers?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you who they are.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, well, one of them was saying to me he got rung by his mate, who's a well-known kapahaka exponent, right, and said, hey, is that us? And anyway, this one turned around and said, well, actually, no, that's you, because I'll be judging you.
When's it on, and sort of where? Are you doing this virtual, or is it a big night of stars?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of both. So if you get through the second round, which is, you know, the top 12, we bring the top 12 down to Wellington, and we have an in-person face-off at the Takina Convention Centre here in Wellington. So we're hoping for a real big crowd at that, and I think there will be. And look, we'll profile those 12 too as we have them, and put them out there. And look, it's open to all races. You don't have to be Māori. All you have to be able to do is speak te reo really well. And we're really encouraging women to rock up as well, because, you know, this is not a whai kōrero competition. It's a speech competition, which is a little bit different, you know, in Māori whakatakoto kōrero. So if you can get up there and speak really, really well in te reo Māori, that's, you know, you're who we're looking for. But yeah, so that's the final, once we've gone through the second round, which is the Zoom links and things, you come the top 12 come down to Wellington on the 21st of September, which is the final day of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, and sort of slug it out down here. So we're really looking forward, you know, to that particular night, but also watching as the registrations start to come in.
I think it's a really great idea too. I've been along to speech competitions, Manu Kōrero, which are amazing, and this skill of oratory is something that we as a people have prided ourselves on for generations, and it is a great skill to have and to be honed and refined. Of course, you don't immediately become excellent at delivering oratory. This is something that you grow through the course of your life. And that ehoma, you can go to Te Tauriwhiri's website if you'd like to know more about it, culminating in the final on the 21st of September at the Takina Convention Centre there in Te Whanganui Atala. Ngā Kiwi, I'm curious, just name drop some who you've been hugely impressed by with their oratory skills across time when you think of the best Reo Māori speakers that you can recall in your lifetime, who would stand out?
Oh, definitely Whaia Makachi by Country Mile.
Whaia Makachi, yeah. So, sorry to interrupt. Why would that be? Talk with us about Whaia Makachi.
Well, Whaia was probably the last wahine and the only wahine apart from the Māori Queen to stand at Tūranga Wairua. And it was hugely controversial too. I know a lot of the Tainui men at the time were not happy about that. But look, you would be hard pressed to find a better speaker, not just in Ngāti Porou, but around the country. She had a voice that if she whispered, you could hear her a mile away. She's a big woman. She's probably about 5'11" tall. But you know, every time she spoke at home and I was there, it was an event. And you know, just brilliant. And often she would be questioned. I remember one time there was a group, I think from Tūhoe. And anyway, she got up and spoke. Welcomed them on. The Tūhoe speaker got up and said something like, "E hika ma, kāre e tika kia tū, te wahine ki te kōrero, mā te tangata kē." And she yelled back at him, he tangata anō te wahine e hoa." Women are people as well. And it was actually those kinds of responses, but it was her ability to, you know, to just grab an audience, because she had such a big voice, but she also had this beautiful command of the language. And she could be funny. She could be funny. She could be thought provoking. she could make people, you know, it was just it was an event every time she spoke. And I think if we can get somebody anywhere like that, then they will run away with the prize.
Well, look at that. Wahine ma, kau e whakama. Put yourself forward here. This is not a whaikōrero competition. It's being delivering a beautiful reo, but your thoughts and articulating your thoughts well. It's the new Waka Kōrero competition, and it's been promoted by Te Tauriwhiri. And with us today, Ngā Hiwi Apanui. Brother, I spoke earlier with Shane Taurima. There's a big hui on at Whakata Māori today, and we're seeing a lot of political pressure to belt Titan. And so that's compromising what we have done and reshaping what we need to do in the future. And, of course, Reo Māori is intertwined with it all. When you look at the political landscape from your chair, how are we shaping up? Do you sense the same level of commitment and funding into Te Tauriwhiri as in previous governments? Or have you too been asked to tighten your belt?
We were initially. We were approached by our monitor, Te Puni Kōkiri, and told that we were going to, you know, take some cuts based on the reserves that we had built up over the past 10 years or so. We took that to the minister because what we understood was that the cuts came from departmental expenses, which is the funding to the central agencies. We're an entity, so we sit on the outer circle of the public sector. And our funding is called non-departmental expenses. So we were a bit surprised that they had asked us. When we took it to the minister, he was quite surprised, and he asked the TPK officials there, you know, why are you cutting them? And their response was because they're not spending all of their appropriation, which is our annual budget. To which I replied, well, if you have a look at our annual report for the last 4 or 5 years, we've overspent our budget by at least $1 million. The reason we have reserves is because our CFO takes our reserve money and he invests it every year. So if we've got $2 million reserve, he'll go and put it into secure deposit for a year, and that soon turns into $500,000, you know. So he's, you know, it's been that kind of innovation that we've been using to keep ourselves ahead of the game. And look, you know, if we've got a financial modeling program that we use that shows that we will be in a bit of trouble in about 4 years' time. And at the moment, we've been told that there will be no cost pressure bids, which have always been a feature of, you know, of life here in Wellington since I've been running Te Tauru Whiri. You're able to apply for a cost pressure bid, but under this government, we won't be able to do that. But it's, you know, we've been pretty practical. We don't get a lot of money, mate. We get around about $11 million a year to do what we have to do, and we spend every cent of that money very, very carefully. and we'll be doing the same again. But it's really for us, you know, we are looking at, you know, working in partnerships now with private sector companies to keep, you know, keep Te Reo out there. And in some ways, it's easier to work with a private sector company than it is to work with, you know, with a central agency that is sitting there waiting for the minister to respond to the next political emergency that happens. And a lot of time, I think that's why a lot of the agencies struggle to get their work done, because they've got to balance that up with doing their work for the community. And if you've got a minister who's embroiled in particular issues, then that's, you know, as a CE, that will be your prime concern. But for me, I don't have that. And if the minister jumps up at anybody, he jumps up and down at Tawinia. But the reality is, all of us are looking at the next 3 or 4 years with no funding release. So, yeah, it has actions by some of the government, some of the ministers, and statements and things like that have been made. You know, they have an impact on people who work in a sector that is highly sensitive to what the government says, whether it's policy or whether it's statements made in the press. So if a minister jumps up and down and says, I don't agree that all agencies should have Te Reo Māori names, then that has an impact. People start thinking, oh, cripes, you know, we need to go back. And look, you know, to the credit of most of the CEOs that I've spoken to, they've said until they get a direct, you know, get a directive from the government or from their particular minister to go back on their Te Reo Māori names, they're not going to. It's business as usual. But, you know, the rhetoric that's been, that was spouted before the election and after it has undoubtedly had an impact. We've had a drop-off in people turning up to the fora that we run to help with the implementation of Te Reo Māori. We postponed Ngā Tohu Reo Māori because we couldn't get enough support to make it happen, which is why we ran it in April. By the time all the political dust had settled, people were able to find, you know, money to help us out to run it. But, yeah, all of that stuff, all of us are looking at it going, okay, how are we going to make it through the next 3 or 4 years?
Tēnā koe. It's been an interesting and pleasant kōrero once again, Ngā Hiwi. All the best with Waha Kōrero, and thanks for shedding some light on the realities of the organisation you've proudly been at the helm for many years. Ngā mihi e te rangatira, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Teo. Ngā mihi nui.
Thanks so much. Ngā Hiwi Apanui joining us there. We've managed to find a little piece of McClutchie. I'm not quite sure what the subject matter is, but you might get a better idea of her strong style of delivery, the intonation, the pausation, the inflection. It's all part of being a wonderful orator, and they're suggesting the very best he has heard in his life. Ngā Hiwi Apanui, here is Whaia McClutchie.
We accept Whaia and her predecessors had been accepted also as spokespeople in their own right on the marae.
She's got things to say and nobody else can say it. and that's why she's a master.
I am meant to be doing that as a mana wahine. And as you can see, you know, look at the woman. And this one is named after Hinatapura, and the other one is named after Rutu Tafiorang. Then you go further. Raka Itamaria, Iri Tekura, all named after women. Because in their time, they did have the mana. They would order any man down because they had the mana then. When you come through the gate, it's a mana woman, you know, wahine. So that is our kawa, the mana, the wahine.